Good morning, church.
Boy, that was pretty anemic, I'll tell you what. How are you all doing this morning? That's a little bit better. We're glad to be back. You know, this is our home church, as many of you know, but we're rarely here because we're in so many other churches during the year. And we tried to move our membership 4 or 5 times, but we just can't bring ourselves to do it. We have tried, and we've looked, you know, we live over near Lansing because we work at the conference office, and all the churches over there are nice, but we just like Metro. So you have to put up with us, I think, for a while longer at least. And we're just glad to be able to come here, and we're so thankful that we have a church family that realizes why we're gone so much. But we always look forward to coming back when we are here. And I want to challenge you to get involved with the Lifestyle Matters seminars. The places where the seminars are going, you know, we've done market testing of these seminars, and everywhere the seminars are done, people are changed. Not only people in the community are changed, but people in the church are changed. People are getting excited about doing soul winning through these seminars. People are getting excited about living right through these seminars. I wish you could all meet Mary Murray. Mary Murray is either a postmaster or a postal carrier in St. Joseph. An Adventist friend, Glenda Winnell, asked Mary to come to the meeting. And Mary had just gotten back from the Cleveland Clinic. She had a heart, 56 years old, had a heart attack. Women don't have heart attacks. Yes, they do in this country now. It's one of the leading, if not the leading cause of death in women now, is heart disease. Mary had a heart attack. She went to Cleveland Clinic, and her doctor told her she needed to make some serious lifestyle changes. One of the first places she went when she got home was to a Lifestyle Matters seminar. Do you think God arranged that? And I'll never forget it. Vicki and I were there that night. It was held at our son's church. By the way, we're grandparents. Isn't that exciting? Gina had her baby, a little girl. Her name is Abigail Victoria, and she's the sweetest little thing. She's she's a week old tomorrow. And I got to hold that little baby when she was about 5 minutes old. She's a precious little baby. Anyway, I could talk about that all day, as many of you know. Anyway, we were there at the church in Glenwood, near Dowagiac, and Mary was there. And as Vicki and Gina were sharing, and as the PowerPoint was playing, you could see Mary's face get more excited and more excited and more excited. Now, you got to remember, Cleveland Clinic is the premier heart institute in the country. And Mary shot her hand up and she said, "I'm so excited!" And Gina said, "Why?" She said, "Because I just got back from Cleveland Clinic, and what you're teaching me in these meetings is what they told me to do at Cleveland Clinic." And you know what? She's invited 4 people to the next meeting. She invited the postmaster. She brought him vegetarian meatballs. And she said, "Here, you got to taste these." And he ate them. He said, "Man, these are good, Mary. Where'd you get these?" "I learned about it at the Lifestyle Matters seminar. You want to come to the next one with me?" He said, "Sure, sign me up." Now, friends, do we need to get involved? If you want to have your life changed and experience, listen, these meetings are fun. These meetings are fun. The small group sessions and the dynamics that take place. We don't want to have boring, dry health lectures. Right? I mean, that's out. We want something that's exciting, that grabs people, that makes an impact, and by God's grace, you can be on the front lines. Hey, what did our prophet tell us? Soon, no evangelistic work will be done, but medical missionary evangelism. It's the last work. Why don't we get ready for it now? Come this afternoon. We have a lot to talk about. You're going to have fun. I can't guarantee it because it's up to you. But you can have fun if you choose to as you do these meetings. And when nothing is more exciting than winning a soul to Jesus Christ. Ask any doctor. Nothing's more exciting, physicians, than seeing a patient's life changed. Correct? I imagine that Peter has no greater thrill or any other physician here has any greater thrill when the patient comes back and says, "Doc, I'm healed." Isn't that good news? You can have a part in it. You don't even have to have an MD. Just come and let the Lord use you. We want to talk today about chain reactions. There's a lot of chain reactions in the world. The nuclear bomb, what is it? It's a chain reaction. Interstate 80 near Sacramento, California is famous for 2 things. It's famous for tule fog, and it's famous for chain reaction accidents.
I remember we lived there in Sacramento years and years ago. We had almost a 120 car pileup on Interstate 80 because of a chain reaction. What causes a chain reaction? Many things can cause chain reactions. A mutant cell goes wrong, or a cell goes mutant. You get cancer. A pilot makes a wrong decision in an airplane. You've got a crash. Many things can lead up to a chain reaction. Chain reactions can be good. Chain reactions can be bad. What we want to look at today is this whole principle of chain reactions. Because when there are chain reaction accidents on Interstate 80, that's a bad thing. But a good chain reaction starts into effect right away as the hospitals prepare to accept the injured. Chain reactions take place. And there are chain reactions going on in the world. Do you believe that? There are chain reactions going on in the world. The devil is implementing chain reactions for evil. And the Lord is implementing chain reactions for good. And our choice is, which link will we be a chain in? Because we are links in one chain or the other. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6 before we get to our text for today. Galatians chapter 6, this lays the groundwork for what we want to see here. Because Galatians chapter 6, Paul is telling us about chain reactions and how chain reactions work. Notice he says in verse 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth," what's the next words? "That shall he also." Is that a chain reaction? Yes. But notice it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Now that's the good news of the gospel. We have a choice, don't we? God has a dream. Satan has a nightmare. You have a choice. Simple as it is. That's the whole plan of salvation in a nutshell. If you look at Numbers chapter 13, we're not going to read the whole thing. Don't even turn there. We're just talking about it. Numbers chapter 13, verses 23 to 33, we are told about the 10 spies who came back from searching out the goodly land. Now, friends, think about this for a minute. What did the 12 spies come home with? They came home with grapes so big they had to carry them on a pole between their shoulders. Imagine going down to Myers and finding grapes like that. Even at 69 cents a pound, you're talking about $600-$700 to bring them home. Now these guys had the hugest grapes you've ever seen. Should that have caused a chain reaction to go in and get the land? God was trying to start a chain reaction. They said, "This land flows with milk and honey. This land has everything God has promised us." But while God was trying to start His chain reaction, who was there to start His chain reaction? The devil. Now think about this for a minute. God's chain reaction catalyst, the grapes, were visible, weren't they? You could see them. You could touch them. And if you plucked one, if you could open your mouth wide enough, you could pop it in and taste it. Satan's chain reaction was just psychological. Could they see the giants? The 10 spies had, but the rest of the people couldn't. But I want to show you the strength of allowing Satan to instill within you even the thought of his chain reaction. Because when he instilled the thought of the giants, it overrode the grapes. And a chain reaction started that resulted in 40 years of needless wandering in the wilderness of sin. How many days should it have taken to get from Canaan, from Egypt to Canaan? The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy, it's an 11-day journey. 11 days. How long did they wander? 40 years. What was the cause? A chain reaction. Ignoring the promise of God and accepting the lie of the devil. A chain reaction was put into place. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 2, which was our scripture reading for today. Acts chapter 2, we're going to look at one of the most phenomenal chain reactions in all the Bible. Acts chapter 2. There it is. Let's start at verse 37. This is after Peter preaches his great sermon on the day of Pentecost. And it said, now when they heard this, the people listening, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. A chain reaction is beginning. The word was preached. The Spirit had power, and the catalyst brought on the chain reaction. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, you see, once a chain reaction begins, you've got to add fuel to the fire. Catalyst to the fire. Notice what he says. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. That's a chain reaction. It's not an if, but a when. For the promise is unto you and unto your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord Jesus shall call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Friends, are we living today in an untoward generation? Listen, friends, we in this country are perched on the borders of anarchy. When we have mayors of cities saying, forget state law, we do what we want to do. That's anarchy. And if we don't wake up and realize that Satan has set in force his chain reaction that will result in the end of the world, we need to wake up and let God use us to start his chain reaction to win as many people from Satan's chain reaction as can possibly be won. Amen? God has a plan for you, sister. He has a plan for me. And we can be a catalyst for God, or we can be a catalyst for Satan. Which one will we choose? We are in an untoward generation. Verse 41, then they gladly received his word and were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wouldn't you like to add 3,000 souls to this church? Oh, what a chain reaction, Brother Lane. What a chain. And the best thing about this chain reaction is they added 3,000 souls and no one walked out the back door. Now that's a reaction. 100% success rate. And not long after, another 4,000 were added to the church without one apostasy. Dear friends, that is a chain reaction. And they continued steadfastly, verse 42, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayers. That's another part of the chain reaction. You see, a chain reaction of successful evangelism is that the church comes together in unity. The church comes together and they're involved on a daily basis. What does it say? They broke bread. How often? Every Sabbath? No. They broke bread daily. How many of us are friends to each other on a daily basis? A chain reaction of true evangelism brings unity to a church, brings godliness to a church, brings friendliness to a church, brings common spirit to a church. It's a wonderful chain reaction. Verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. Now, wait a minute. Stop there. Why did fear come upon the church? Why did this chain reaction? These are all good things that are happening, aren't they? I mean, Ananias and Sapphira had died long, you know, they haven't died yet. They're a little ways down the road. Why is fear coming upon the church here? I'll tell you why. Because the level of love, the level of acceptance, the level of unity was unlike they had ever seen before, and they knew that God was at work. They knew that God was in charge. They knew that this was God's chain reaction, and they had been called to be a part of it. Wouldn't it bring fear upon this church? To know that God was moving in a way like He had never moved before to use you to win Detroit for the Lord. That would bring fear upon my heart. A holy fear. A fear that I would be left out. That I wouldn't be a part of the great reaping that God was about to do. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with what accord? One accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, fellowship, unity, community. That was God's chain reaction. And they did eat their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church how often? Daily. Imagine Pastor Stewart calling you and saying, we're having a baptism every day this month. We have so many people waiting to be baptized. How many of you would be here for all the baptisms? Well, you'd be here for as many as you could, right? It's a thrill to see Jesus working in souls, changing their lives and molding them to His image. That's the chain reaction we see happening here in the book of Acts. There are many chain reactions in the Bible. Many chain reactions. We're going to look at a few of them today. Let's look at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We're not going to read the whole story because it's rather long. But we're going to read just a portion of it. It's actually Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. And Jesus is coming over to the side of Galilee into the land of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, verse 2, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Here's a chain reaction. This man was so incredibly strong because he was possessed by evil spirits that they would chain him to a wall and he could just snap him off like rubber bands. That's a chain reaction. How would you react to that situation? Seeing a man so strong that big brass chains could not hold him down. I saw once with a little 16-year-old girl. I was working in the emergency room at Washington Adventist Hospital back in Washington, D.C. She came in on a bad trip on PCP, angel dust. She was 16 years old, throwing around 200-pound men like they were little rag dolls. We couldn't hold her down. We tried to strap her with big leather restraining straps to the bed. She just went and pulled them right off. We called the LAPD, and we said, send over six of the biggest, baddest Italian cops you got. And they sent over these big goons. Man, these guys were big. And she was throwing them off like they were rag dolls. You see, I've seen that type of power. And I'll tell you what, I stood in awe. Even though we were trying to chain that little girl down with chains, she had a chain reaction. She did nothing could hold that girl down. That's what we're looking at here. But look at what happens. Look at what happens. But when because he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder, verse 4, by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Friends, there are people in this community who have habits that are binding them like chains. And no man can tame those habits. Have you ever tried to kick smoking? Have you ever tried to kick an eating disorder? Have you ever tried to kick going on diets and off of diets and on diets and off of diets? Have you ever tried to kick any type of addiction? It is chains. No man can tame those habits. No man can bring them under control. But through the Lifestyle Matters seminars that you can have here, the people in this community can see the God that set the Gadarene free, and they can break their chains and never go back. They can have a chain reaction through the power of God. They can experience the power of God in their lives to make them new people in Christ Jesus. And when you set someone free, when God sets someone free through you, you have access to His heart with the greater truths of the gospel. What happened to this man?
What happened to this man in Mark chapter 5? What was the chain reaction that the chains could not hold the man to the wall? But when Jesus came, the man said, Lord, you've healed me. Let me follow you and be your disciple. That's a chain reaction. When we do medical missionary evangelism, God has promised there will be a chain reaction. You see, Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. Turn back there for just a minute. Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. Notice what it says. Remember, we are told later on in this story, this man had how many demons dwelling within him? How many demons? 2,000 demons. And Jesus spoke one word, and the demons fled. Friends, Jesus doesn't care how many bad habits you have. It can be 2,000, it can be 5,000, it can be 10,000, it can be one. Numbers are no match for God. God speaks, and it's done. That's why he says in Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, notice what he says. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Lord, I've had this bad habit all my life. The Lord says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Lord, my father passes on to me. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Lord, I've tried to beat this all my life. The Lord says, yeah, I know you've been trying to beat it. But is anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing's too hard for God. Except the heart that will not let God enter in. Look at Acts chapter 12, one of my favorite chain reaction stories in all the Bible. Acts chapter 12. This is great. Verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to the 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, verse 5, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When we do these meetings here in this church, there should be prayer without ceasing that God will deliver people from the chains that bind them. You see, the secret to powerful evangelism is not powerful preaching. It's powerful prayer. Prayer is the key, the catalyst, you might say, that spurns the chain reaction on. Peter was thrown in prison, and the people began, listen now, the people began a chain reaction through their prayers. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers. Now, don't you love that? Peter knows the next day he's going to go to his death. He knows it. You think Herod's going to let him off? Herod just killed James, the brother of John. Peter knows he's number 2 on the list. But what's he doing? He's sleeping. You see, when your life is hid with Christ and God, death does not scare you. Adversity does not benumb you. Opposition does not tear you down. Because you know that with God before us, who can be against? Peter's sleeping. Between 2 soldiers, bound with how many chains? 2 chains. Now look at the picture. He's bound one soldier on this side, to 1 soldier on the other side. Those soldiers are probably sitting up because they know that if Peter gets away, who's the next one to die? They are. They're watching that guy like a hawk.
And the keepers before the door kept the prison. I mean, Herod knows. Herod knows he better keep this guy intact because Herod knows he's fighting God. And he chains up Peter, puts two quaternions of soldiers. That's a lot of guys watching one man. That's a waste of the taxpayers' money by any stretch of the imagination. And behold, now notice the chain reaction taking place. The church is praying. We know they're praying because when Peter got out of prison, they were still praying. They prayed all night long. Friends, sometimes to keep a chain reaction going, you got to keep adding catalyst to the reaction. When you're doing the meetings, don't just pray one time and say, well, we've done our job. No, God says pray without ceasing. It's hard to break chains. Our prayers, in some way that we don't understand, that we can't explain, our prayers release power from heaven. Now notice the story. Wouldn't you love to have been there that night? I would have loved to have been outside that prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. Peter sleeping so sound, even the light didn't wake him up. The angel's got to go, hey, Peter, come on, man, get up. Peter goes, what? I must be dreaming. Now look what happens. He raised him up saying, arise up quickly. And what happened to his chains? What happened to his chains? Boom, they're just gone. Peter goes, well, that's the best dream I've ever had. And he says, come on, Peter, put on your coat. Let's go. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, verse 8, and bind on thy sandals. So he did, and he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought it was a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Can you imagine Peter's eyes at this? I mean, this stuff only happens on TV. It doesn't happen in real life. Oh, yes, it does. You see, when prayer starts a chain reaction, it allows God to release all the power of heaven to do what we think is impossible. To convert the neighbor that we think is unconvertible. To help the person who's next door has heart disease that we thought could never be cured, be cured. God can do what? Anything. Do you believe that today? I'll never forget a man I was talking to. I was doing prison ministry down in Alabama doing a video. One of the men going into prison with us, his name is Ron. Ron was a drug runner. He flew a twin-engine aircraft from Columbia into Florida filled with cocaine. He got caught. He said, Dane, he said, I would kill if you looked at me wrong. He said, I cut people's heads off. I murdered people just for money. He was put in prison. He said, there were two types of people I didn't like. I didn't like blacks. I didn't like Mexicans. He says, they were leading me down to my cell. I looked in the room where the guard was opening the door, and inside that cell were three blacks and two Mexicans. He said, I saw them on their knees. You know what they were praying for? They said, God, send us someone we can lead to you. They were starting their own little chain reaction. And Ron walked into that cell and he said, I am not going to like these guys. If they get in my face, I'm going to slug them. He said, I was one mean dude, but they loved Ron. They worked with Ron. They prayed for Ron. And Ron gave his heart to God. And then he said, God, can you get me out of here? Now, Ron's on a 20-year sealed sentence. That means you don't get out with parole. You serve 20 years to the day. You do not leave. Bound with chains of the law. He prayed for 3 months. His bunkies prayed for 3 months that Ron could get out of prison. One day, a guard comes down to the door, opens up and says, Ron, or his last name, I can't remember his last name, call him by his last name, the warden wants to see you. Now, when you're in prison and the warden wants to see you, you start getting real paranoid real fast. What did I do wrong? Did I break a rule? Did I violate something? And he walked, because he was trying to be a model prisoner. He's a Christian now. You've got to be a model prisoner. He walks into the warden's office and said, yes, sir. Warren says, pack your stuff, Ron, you're out of here. Ron says, Warden, I'm here on a 20-year sealed sentence. You can't let me go. Warren says, Ron, go pack your stuff, you're out of here. And Ron started arguing. The Holy Spirit said, Ron, I'm getting you out. Stop arguing.
He said, well, warden, explain to me, why am I getting out? You know what the warden said? Tallahassee called this morning. The computer lost your records. Without records, we can't keep you here. You're gone. He walked out of prison a free man after 3 months of a 20-year sealed sentence. He was out for 5 months. He got 4 letters from the IRS. You owe $400,000 back taxes. Ron went to the Lord and said, I knew it, Lord. You couldn't get me out forever. Look, I'm going to go. I can't earn $400,000. If I ran drugs, I could. But Lord, you don't want me to run drugs. I'm a bricklayer. Lord, how am I going to solve this problem? Lord said, Ron, you're not going to. I am. So the next month, Ron gets another letter from the IRS to come to an IRS hearing because he still owes the money with interest. Here comes my young preacher friend. And Ron went to his boss and he said, boss, what should I do? And the boss said, well, you got to try to set up a payment arrangement with the IRS. So as Ron was writing out his letters and trying to figure out what to do, he gets 4 letters from the IRS 2 weeks later. Opens up the first one. Original tax lien, $25,000. New tax lien, zero. Puts it down, opens up the second letter. Original tax lien, $125,000. New tax lien, zero. Opens up the third letter. Original tax lien, whatever, new tax lien, zero. Opens up the fourth letter. Original tax lien, new tax lien, $38. He went into his boss, he showed him the letter, he said, boss, what do I do? He said, pay the $38. And as Ron was on his knees that night, he said, Lord, how did you do this? The Lord said, remember that angel that messed with the computer in Tallahassee? He knows how to crack the IRS computer too. You see, chains don't mean anything with God. God overrides circumstance for His glory. Look, Peter walks out of prison. Peter walks out of prison here in Acts chapter 12. And look at verse 12. Look at verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent this angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, that's her son had been killed, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door, a damsel came named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. Now friends, who's she talking to? The people who are praying. She comes in and says, you're not going to believe this. Quick, come to the door. Peter's out there. You're mad, Rhoda. Peter's in prison. Brother, what were they asking Jesus to do? To get him out of prison. And when Jesus answered their prayer, they couldn't believe it. Friends, when you begin to pray for others during these meetings, you pick out one person in your neighborhood or 5 people in your neighborhood or 20 people in your neighborhood and you begin to pray for them. And don't be surprised when God answers your prayer. No amens. God will answer your prayer. You see, the reason why many of us have so little trust in God's ability to answer prayer is because we're not putting Him to the test to answer our prayer. Pick out the toughest, meanest, baddest dude you can think of and start praying for him. And watch God answer your prayer. He may not answer it in your timing, but watch God answer your prayer. You see, how many are in the prison house today of bad habits, bound with chains, and we all think there's no way they can break free from them. Drug addiction, morphine addiction, heroin addiction, crack addiction, food addiction, pornography addiction, whatever it might be. Lord, nobody can free that guy. Lord says, I freed Peter, didn't I? Pray. What got Peter out of prison? The prayers of the church. The prayers of God's people. They opened the prison house. They opened the windows of heaven and they went right down into that prison house in that city. And God answered prayer. A chain reaction as the chains fell from the apostles' hands. Isaiah chapter 61.
Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. Notice, this is the very text Jesus quoted when he started his public ministry. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Friends, that's all of us in this church today. The Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And I add, with chains. Friends, would you like to be a catalyst in a chain reaction? Start to pray. Claim the promises of God. Claim this passage here. Go to Psalm chapter 73. Look what it says there. Psalms chapter 73. And we're going to read verses 3 through 6. Notice it says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men are, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain." Friends, that's a perfect description of many in our world today. They're not going through the same struggles God's people go through as He perfects their characters. They've settled down into a life of ease and wealth and fortune or of self-comfort. And the pride has begun to bind them up like a chain. We need to pray for these precious people. We need to pray that God will begin a chain reaction to set them free. We need a burden for souls as Christ had a burden for souls. Jesus says in Psalm chapter 68, verse 6. Turn there for a minute. It's a beautiful, beautiful promise. Psalms chapter 68 and verse 6. God sets the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Friends, are you chained today with circumstance? I don't care what it is. I don't care how long it's been with you. God can set you free. God loves breaking into prison. God loves seeing chains drop to the ground. God loves doing the impossible. Let's go to John chapter 11. Another chain reaction story in the Bible. John chapter 11, verses 38 through 40. Now, this was not bound with chains. He was bound with a rock. But he was still bound with the chains of circumstance. And Jesus is at Lazarus' tomb, and he was groaning in himself. He came to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said to Mary, "Take ye away the stone." It's amazing what those little lungs can do, isn't it? Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Now, look at the look on everybody's face here. How long has Lazarus been in this tomb? What did his own sister say? "Lord, he stinks. We can't roll away the stone. The smell's going to be overpowering." What did the Lord say? "Roll away the stone." Does Jesus have everybody's attention? Man, he's got all, you could have heard a pin drop. Standing, waiting. Everybody's looking at that stone. And they roll the stone away. And Jesus, in that clear voice, says, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, friends, you've got to realize that Jesus' whole ministry is hanging on those words. Because if Lazarus doesn't come out, the Pharisees are going to stand, they're standing right there, they're watching. And they're going to say, "We got him now. He's a false prophet." But Jesus had such confidence in God. Jesus had put God to the test so many times in his life. Jesus had seen the chains of circumstance fall so many times that he knew that not even the chains of death
could hold Lazarus in that tomb. People are going to be coming to your meeting who are dead in trespasses and sins. We don't condemn them for being dead. We praise them for coming to the source of life, Jesus Christ. We welcome them with open arms, no matter how they smell, no matter what they smell like, no matter what they look like, no matter what they're wearing. When they come through those doors, they are walking in to the chain, releasing miracle power of God, and we are there to pray the chain reaction into place, to act the chain reaction into place, to plead with God to free these who are dead in trespasses and sins, that they can rise to newness of life in Christ and then become catalysts themselves to raise people to Jesus. That's power. That's the excitement of being a Christian, friends. Did you hear the song today? Oh, I'm thirsty. So thirsty. Are you thirsty to see a soul won to Jesus?
First Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." When the man came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 8 verse 21 and 22 and said, "Lord, let me go home and bury my father." What did Jesus say? "Let the dead bury their dead." You see, we live in a land of walking dead. Friends, it's not a condemnation to them. It is a urging of God to us who have life, who have the gospel, to say, "Look at all the dead. Rescue them. Set them free through the power of God. Reach out to them in these meetings. Reach out to them in your studies. Reach out to them with the gospel." Jesus has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Ephesians chapter 2. Notice what it says. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. "And you hath he quickened, who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." But, don't you love the buts of the Bible? "But God, who is what? Rich in mercy." Oh, friends, how can we sit with so much and not share it with others? How can we not pay God back for what He's done for us to rescue us from the pit of sin? "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love worth He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved." Chain reaction. God saves one, He tells you to save another. You know, it's the ultimate multi-level marketing plan. We tell everyone, man, have you ever met an Amway person? They tell everybody about Amway. Because they believe in their product. I'm not condemning them, they believe in their product. But friends, it's time we start to believe in our product. I don't have something that'll clean clothes. I have something that'll clean the heart. That will clean the life. That will give eternal life. What a product! You gotta pay for Amway. You get this free. What a deal! How can you not get excited about that? You see, according to this passage, we're either dead in Christ, or we're dead in the world. It's the only choice. We're all dead. Either dead in Christ or dead in the world. Let's take one or two more, and then we got to close. Acts chapter 16. Another chain reaction. Acts 16. Verse 23, you know the story. Paul and Silas were thrown into prison for preaching the gospel. Their backs are laid open, hamburgered. They're put in stocks. Their feet are sitting up about 4 feet high. They're laying in their own dung and rat dung, rat feces, rats running over them. Hardened criminals all around. What are these guys doing?
Oh Lord, we're just trying to preach the gospel, Lord. Why did I just hurt? No, they weren't doing it. They were praising God. You see, they weren't bound by their chains. They weren't bound by circumstance. Because when Jesus lives inside, nothing can bind your soul. You rise above circumstance because Jesus lifts you above it. Now, here's the greatest part of the story. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, verse 25, and sang praises unto God, and the what? Prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was an earthquake, so the fountain, this is a very selective earthquake, it only hit under the prison. Did you ever think about that? This earthquake only hit under the prison. There was a great earthquake under the prison, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains fell off. Do you see what that's being said there? Sometimes, listen to me now, sometimes the wicked are blessed just being in your presence. The chains fell off. Who was God seeking to free? The prisoners or Paul and Silas? Paul and Silas. But everyone benefited. And now imagine, here's all these hardened criminals. What's the only thing a criminal wants to do? Break out. Now, what does the Bible say? How many of the doors were opened? All the doors. And yet when the jailer came down, how many prisoners were still in the prison? All of them. Friends, listen to me. Why were all those prisoners still in prison when all they want to do is break out? Because there were two men there called Paul and Silas who had the Spirit of God in such a powerful way that they stood up and they said, no one leaves this prison. And everyone obeyed. Do you understand the power in that passage? Do you see what God can do for you when you live for God? You have a power around you that no one can gainsay against. Whew. I want that, Peter. And when the jailer came down, he was so mystified, he was so amazed that all the prisoners were still there, he said, what must I do to be saved? He was convicted. That's a chain reaction. Why did Paul and Silas tell those prisoners to stay? Why? Because they wanted to convert the man who had beaten their back to pulp a few hours before. That's love. You see, a carnal mind would have said, okay, you guys, get out of here quick. Because they knew that if those prisoners escaped, who dies? The jailer, under Roman law. But they wanted his soul. They wanted him in God's kingdom. And friends, I don't care what anyone has done to us. God says, you love that person. You work for their salvation. You inconvenience yourself to save them. The first person we should take our invitation to is the person that we know has hurt us the worst. And say, I want you to come with me. You're going to love these meetings. The jailer was saved that night because two men started a chain reaction. A chain reaction of salvation. You think Paul and Silas are going to be sorry in heaven for what they went through that night? Never. You see, many today are bound through ignorance. Many today are bound through ignoring reality. But friends, the question that comes to us is, are we willing to be inconvenienced for God? Are we willing, like Jeremiah, to be bound with chains for preaching the gospel of Christ? Are we willing, like Paul, to say, I am not only ready to be bound, but to die for the kingdom of God?
In Judges chapter 16, verse 8, Samson was tied first with just a few cords. He snapped them easy. In Judges 16, verse 12, a few little larger ropes, he snapped them pretty easy. But in Judges chapter 16, verses 20 to 21, he was bound with chains and he couldn't break them. And that's just how Satan works. Small lifestyle choices, small family choices, small personal choices. We can break them pretty easy at first. But before we know it, we're bound by chains of habit. And Jesus is calling us all to be ministers of reconciliation, to reach out through the gospel of health and better living and set the captives free. Who wants to be involved? Who wants to be involved to see the thrill of chains dropping powerless to the ground? God has a chain reaction. It's found in Romans chapter 6. We're going to close with two more texts and we'll be done. Romans chapter 6. Notice this chain reaction. We're going to start at verse 13. Let's start at verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield your members, tongue, eyes, ears, hands, feet, whatever it might be, your members, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now look at verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For now look at the chain reactions here. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity, unto iniquity. In other words, it gets worse and worse as you're bound deeper and deeper in your habit. Even so now, yield your members, your tongue, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your nose, whatever it might be. Yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. You see the chain reactions? Friends, those are the only two chain reactions we can choose between today. There's coming an ultimate chain reaction. It's found in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, when we're told that a mighty angel comes from heaven with great chains in his hands and binds the devil for 1,000 years upon this earth. Now listen to me, friends. My job as a Christian is to take as many people out of that chain reaction as possible. Amen. To save souls for the kingdom of God. To keep them out of the chains of darkness that have been reserved unto everlasting destruction and bring them through the chain of God's love and His mercy to the beautiful, marvelous light of the kingdom of God, where God says, I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how much you've struggled. I don't care how much you hate. You bring those chains to me and watch them fall to the ground, powerless, as you put your hand in mine. In April, we have the chance to see the slaves set free again. We don't do it, but God has given us the thrill of being a minuteman, a messenger to bring them in from the fields of sin. I want to make an appeal this morning. I want you to humbly bow your heads in prayer. And I want you to ask God how He can use you in April. Because God has a job for everyone in this church to do. Even if your only job is to be a foot soldier to pass out invitations, that's your job that God has given you to do. If God wants you to be a small group leader, that's your job that God has given you to do. If you're going to be a facilitator, that's the job that God has given you to do. But God has said He will have no idle men or women in His service. bow your heads and ask God, what do you want me to do? And if you want to make a public commitment today to say, Lord, I'm tired of being a bench warmer. I want to be a soldier for Jesus. I want to have the chain cutter. I want to have the chain cutter of the Holy Spirit that I can start helping cut chains off people's heart, off people's minds, off people's arms, off people's legs that are bound with those fetters of sin, bound with those fetters of habit, bound with those horrible things that Satan binds us with. If you just want to stand up right now and say, Lord, I know where you've called me to serve. I'll do it. I want you to stand to your feet. Dear Jesus, thank you that we can be links in the chain of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that we can see chain reactions take place before our very eyes, like precious Mary Murray. Oh, Lord, what a thrill it is. My heart thrills as I see the changes you are working in her life. And thank you, Lord, that Vicky and I could have a small part to play in that chain reaction. Lord, it's my heart's desire that everyone in this church will have that same thrill. To be a worker on the front lines for Jesus. To be willing to be both bound and die for the kingdom of God. Oh God, help us to remember that the most important thing we can do is to pray without ceasing. To lift up these precious people. Lord, we don't even know who's going to come, but you do. You are preparing their hearts even now. Lord, move upon this church. This is a huge city that needs to be won for the kingdom of God. We pray that we will not do these meetings, but that you will do them through us. Lord, bless Sister Leona for all her hard work in preparing for these meetings. Bless her, Lord, for her willingness to be used by God as a facilitator, as a general on the battlefield to help rally the troops for the kingdom of God. Lord, may these meetings bring a unity to this church that we have never seen before. A unity in soul winning. Lord, as the world prepares to see the Passion of Christ, a movie, help us to be involved in the real Passion of Christ, winning souls for Jesus. That's our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International Copyright 2004, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes or CDs by this speaker, or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministries resources, please contact us as follows. Visit our secure website at www.americancassette.org. Our entire catalog is online, plus thousands of other selections to choose from. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover credit cards. Our email address is info@americancassette.org. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 800-233-4450. For international orders, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 717-652-9050. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108 in the United States of America. Maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages for 29 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry? To prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. Peace coming soon.